Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It's time now for Ghost Raps Radio. Here's Big Ray.
Welcome back, everyone, to Ghost Raps. Visual Paranormal Investigation. Tracy Kelby, a cult specialist from RIP, Norma King. And Don DeVito, paranormal investigator, cohort from Missouri. Say hey.
Hey. Hello.
Well, tonight we're doing a double screen kind of thing. We're doing the Google Hangout, and it seems that everything is working fine. We appreciate everybody's joining us in. You can watch us on the Google Hangout page, on ghostraps.com, of course. And we have links up on the Ghost Raps Paranormal Talk Show on Facebook, the Paranormal Investigation Facebook page, Steve's page, Tracy's page, and Dawn's page. So if you're listening on the URN network on Wild Talk, and you're having difficulty, just go to ghostraps.com, and you can watch it live there on the Google Hangouts YouTube channel. If the URN is playing, then just click the button and mute it out, and you can watch it there. So, one thing on the Google Hangout we're working it over here, we have audio. You'll be able to hear it on the UI network that airs different info segments on the Hangout page. So, tonight we actually have Matt or Dennis, our Matt or Dennis, they're going to be calling in and telling us about what's going on this Saturday. Actually, what's happening is that the Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Sands Casino is the Parafest 2013. I was going to go up, but there's a lot of stuff going on, medical stuff, and medical work and stuff we're doing here, so I'm not going to be able to make it. But CPR, Matt and Dennis are going to be up there, and we're going to do a live show on Saturday, I think from 2 to 5, from 2 to 4, somewhere in there, they'll let us rest. And they're going to be up, Matt and Dennis will be up with a whole lot of fun. We have actors from a lot of the shows, paranormal shows, other paranormal investigators. It's wild. Go to parafest2013.com and you'll be able to see some of who's showing up. So it'll be a pretty wild event. And it's a 3-day event. It starts tomorrow, goes through Sunday. So a lot of our friends and Hollywood types will be there hanging out. Tonight, of course, we have haunted road or two. I have three haunted roads you may want to avoid. And Tracy has witches and friends of foes. Steve will have a paranormal pop quiz for us. And Dawn has our paranormal chronicle. Should be a fairly interesting show, I do believe. So, Steve, you got any thoughts before Matt Milne calls in?
I just want to say, welcome to Dawn, who is now an associate member of Visual Paranormal. And she's going to be with us, joining us next Friday the 13th for our Fenhurst Asylum investigation.
Looking forward to it.
Yep. Yeah, that should be pretty wild.
Yep,
it should be.
Yeah, Tracy and I are going to be able to meet up on that one. The turnaround time is a little quick on me, especially there's a lot going on here.
But you'll be joining us.
Yeah. We'll be in fact, I'm going to be ready to help out my trip up there.
Yeah, that'll be
Okay. Let's see here.
Well, over there,
double-decker four-passenger route. So you're flying along the melt-type road on the top part of the bus with no roof on it. And I mean, these guys are getting it. And that's in Hong Kong, Kansas City, and all of the Kowloon Bay. And it's a weird airport. It's one of the most deadly airports in the world. The first time I flew into it, you actually fly between the buildings to the tarmac. And I'll tell you what would be a freaky fucker factor is when you look out your window and you see a building go by the way. But you wonder what the craft is in front of. But what's weird about that one also is supposedly, well, there has been a lot of accidents, people killed there. But what seems to happen is some of the ghostly apparitions of the dead seem to come back and cause more accidents and more deaths. So that's what's weird about
summons them. Of course, there's a whole list of candles, and I wanted to mention, of course, is red, because if you can burn a red candle in your house while you're cleaning or while you're doing things, you can gain strength, you can gain health. It stands for vigor. It's good for sex and passion, love, fertility. That's what red does for you.
Okay. Red candle.
Yes. Also, purple will give you power or success.
Ooh.
You burn purple candles.
Purple and red together, what happens?
Huh?
She burns purple and red together, what happens?
I tell you what, Dawn, do it, and we'll figure that out. You can tell us. Green promotes prosperity, fertility also, success, luck. If you need some money, burn the green candle and meditate, and you might get lucky. It also is very good for harmony and rejuvenation. So, if you'd like more information, of course, you can email me at ghostwrapstracy@gmail.com, and I'll give you as much information as I can. But that's what I've got for Witches, Friend of Foe.
All right. So we have candles that will help bring about different types of
different results in your life.
Okay. So, like in the Chinese Asian kind of thing,
It gives you strength, it gives you health and vigor. It's supposed to make your sex drive just go crazy, I guess. But also, red can represent energies associated with fire.
Fire.
Of course, you know, when you're dealing with fire, you're dealing with red hot, you're dealing with heated energy. So it's very good. It increases magnetism in rituals, too.
Okay,
so
it's not necessarily evil.
You tend to put out your vibe a little bit stronger than you normally would.
All right, would it bring us like evilness, like food there, for instance?
No, with his little red horns, no, he would need to either have black horns or, you know, it's different things. Brown is hesitation, uncertainty. You know, the light blue is peace and tranquility. Never burn a greenish yellow candle.
Okay, so
a greenish yellow candle is basically for sickness or cowardness, anger, jealousy. It's good for discord. So if you really want to wish some bad luck on somebody, you burn a greenish candle and have a ritual about them.
Okay, so the candle that you do not want to burn is what color?
Is that greenish yellow candle or a black?
Would that be like a greenish whirly candle or a chartreuse type candle?
Well, probably a chartreuse, a greenish yellow.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I haven't seen any of those.
That's impressive,
Ray,
that you knew what chartreuse was.
Well,
one of my favorite lures is a chartreuse worm.
Well, exactly. That's what I was going to say. That's how I know it. It's called fishing.
Yeah.
It actually does very well in fishing. What a lot of people probably don't know is that in the darker water, the fish can see and sense darker colors better. So if you have dark brown water, fishing, black water, a dark colored bait, well, actually, make times turn better results. But if you have a lighter for the water, and then again, it depends on the natural habitat, what kind of animal. So, you know, a lot of worms, some kind of thing that we get from, and that kind of falls on the internet. How we see things in the paranormal world. At night, we use a different part of our eyes, we have a lot of times talking to someone today,
about this because the husband sees tough white snook on me as well.
Virginia.
And I think he and his family, actually, they grew up in West Virginia. But we were right there on the border when he came over to Virginia. I think that's a piece of property that he grew up on. Was given over the West Virginia line, maybe 15 minutes of that. They're living way in the country just like we did. We had an outhouse, with a bath, and a galvanized tub. So they're living right there on the farm. And one night, the house is on one side of the creek, and the barn is on the other side of the creek, where the animals are. Well, the animals start sticking up a fuss in the barn. They have horses, cows, chickens, you know, normal farm back there. And granted, they had a pretty good, nice family. They had several brothers, most of them went to the Marine Corps. So they were tough country boys, you know, farm boys. But anyway, one of them goes outside and kind of see what the fuss of the animals are making. He starts seeing something white and glowing walking down the hill on the other side of the creek coming down like towards the water's edge. Well, he, of course, goes back up in the house and up in the mountains. We all got guns. And everybody I know got one, and I got a bunch, and they're getting rid of them. But anyway, they get their guns and go there. My great-granddaddy, my great-uncles and granddaddy, and anyway, they're pouring lead into this apparition, ghost, whatever it is. It comes right down to the creek. They're pumping lead into it. Granddaddy won't be the youngest one. He ain't got a gun yet. But it does this. It just hangs out there for a while, and then it turns around or whatever it does and goes back up the hill, and they never... You know, figure out what it is, of course. So my point is this apparition was seen by a lot of people in the family. So I think experiencing the paranormal is passed down because my mom had it happen. I've had aunts say they've had paranormal activity. But the last tale is that a ghost can't cross water. And that's kind of where I go to Tracy, because he's intuitive and his thoughts on things. And he can wave in if they want to, because they also hunted gates. But my thing is, if that's the case, how come we have Flying Dutchman ship, for instance, that has been seen, you know, by a lot of seafaring sailors and cruise ships, that kind of thing, for a couple centuries now. And there's actually a story of a ghost ship right here in Virginia, that the Chesapeake Bay, of course, we have here downwind, but supposedly a ghost ship has been seen coming ashore over top of the trees, and those sailors shinning down, because they don't tell, I guess it's shinnies back then, down rope into the trees there, and then the ship vanishes. So, of course, there's a story of, well, there's lost treasure and that kind of thing, but that's my question to Tracy is, do you think ghosts can cross water, and then if they can, does the ship ghost more? Maybe that fits into another realm.
Well, I kind of have to disagree with your first belief. I do think water attracts ghosts. It's a big attractor, and just like you have your stones that withhold information in a building, water also tends to attract ghosts. It's a big known thing, and that demons use water to travel.
Okay.
That most of your demonic presences are going to be like down in Mississippi, down the Ohio River, different big bodies of water, and that they use the water to travel, and that's one means that they do use. So I really can't say that they cannot cross water. I think it's exactly the opposite from my understanding.
Yeah.
But that could be wrong.
Yeah.
What do you think, Steve?
Well,
kind of really ties into what I was going to talk to you a little later about paranormal conquest. The idea that water is used as a source of energy as well. If you believe in the stone tape theory, certain stones or structures actually hold a traumatic event, almost like a recording. That's the stone tape theory. I'm sure you're familiar with that. And water is linked to that in the sense of where there's flowing water, not a standing pipe, flowing stream or river. That's where there seems to be more energy or more reports of paranormal activity in certain locations.
Well, I agree with that. But the question is, and it's, you know, then back into the blanket statement kind of thing, which I can't say is blanket about everything. I think there is possibly ghosts, spirits cannot come across for some reason, where others can. And others actually use water to travel, that kind of thing. The, you know, I was talking to Steve a couple of days ago. One thing I've found over the years about investigating the paranormal and the unexplained is we tended to find several things present when we found a haunting. There's about eight, but one is there's usually some form of stone, limestone. Brick is not so much great, but it's there. Rock, granite. Some kind of things. Water, running water, green. There's usually a lot of green in the area. Either the rooms are painted green or there's green furniture, that kind of thing. Children. Some form of tragedy. So it might not be the house. It might be a lot of times it's the property. Many times there's children around or has been around. And with poltergeist activity, there's usually a female and someone left-handed on the property. Don't know why. They use it, tend to use a different part of the brain to, you know, access and acclimate information, that kind of thing. But, you know, we've all heard, and I've been places where the water came on in the spigot. Don't know why. Things are great places for it. So they do like water from those seasons, I believe. But Don, have you run into any waterborne spirits?
You know, I do agree with you that water is a conduit and it attracts ghosts. I know that just off of my own experiences, when I live in Iowa, we have a creek nearby, and every time there was kind of spirit activity, there was water activity. Whether water in the refrigerator. I had a brand aquarium that all of a sudden just started seeping water, and we couldn't find a leak after we cleaned it up. It was very strange. I think they use water. Water has a lot of
energy
flow, and or the pipes down there, water are flowing out. These were copper pipes. There was no hole in them. It's unexplainable. It was just very strange. And then the fact that you talked about the Mississippi River, and the two things I knew about that.
Yeah.
I recall the Mississippi River.
Demons use water to travel.
Yeah. But I have found that if you have a lot of activity, you have, like in home, there's a limestone basement or some type of creek flowing energy. That's been an experience in my mind.
you're actually speaking English, and I hear you well. All right, and away.
Okay. It's funny you said the pizza and the lime salt or granite or whatever made it. When we did the investigation at the Gower's Inn, the strongest activity that we got basically from the basement, which predated the house, and that predated the Revolutionary War by 20 years.
Okay.
And that took better action.
Yeah.
And that's the obvious. But this is all working as a spirit law. They were saying full sentence.
Okay.
And now, the similar thing happened with that when we were at the Red Mill Inn, which is a mill driven by water, running water, and it was outside the mill, just beyond where the field is. But we had a similar experience right beside the water with the ovulus also.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, you got a basement, like when I was talking with CPR Dennis the other day. It's like a hallway. Where is a lot of focused energy at? Where does it take place? In hallways. Zipping back and forth, up and down these hallways. There's a lot of energy spent there. And basements, like you said back before, predating the Revolutionary War. Basements were like a fourth of last resort. That's where you stored a lot of your stuff. Back home we actually had a cellar where all your food stuffs are stored at. And back then, they didn't have refrigerators. You couldn't go out on hit a 7-Eleven and get a burrito. When I grew up, what you grew is what you ate. And, if you didn't grow enough, then you didn't eat enough. And that ain't a good winter. So, a lot of those things and a lot of energy just stays basement because you got marauders, back then the engines was coming through and marauding and, killing and all that. And then you had the French and Indian War going on, all that kind of stuff. So people, basements are, like a refuge. So there's a lot of energy, I think, locked in them as well. And we do. There's a place out here in the West End. I'm not going to say the name of it. That was out in the military on a medical reprieve at one time. I was an exec out there. And I was on the property before the hotel was even built. And there was three bodies that were exhumed that nobody knew was there. And they were moved and, reinterred, properly. But there were three buildings on the property. And only the middle building had the effect that I saw happen there. And that's when we talked to three bodies. It's been a while. Were found and reinterred in a different site in a cemetery in the river area. But anyway, I would be going down the hall doing inspections, that kind of thing, checking, making sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. And for some reason, one wall in particular, some of the rooms have jacuzzis and that kind of thing. But I would be walking down the hall, and the carpet I wished was like, crap, where's this water coming from? I filled the wall soaked it wet. So I could tell that it wasn't the first floor, room. It had to be coming from the second floor. So I would meet one of the housemen or the maintenance guys and have them meet me up at the room. Go in there and not find any reason at all for any kind of the room would be perfectly dry. The next day you walk in the hall and the walls are perfectly dry, the carpet is not wet, and this would happen off and on at different times. So there was something with water in that building that would happen all the time. I mean, you know, it was like once a month there would be some kind of water event. So it is kind of strange that, you know, they water. I really think it was somebody that, you know, that they reinterred wasn't too happy about them taking their body away. That's just the feeling I got. Like, there was weird stuff that would happen there.
And I want to kind of touch on what you had talked about before about the paranormal, your paranormal intuition is passed down from generation to generation. I absolutely believe that.
Yelled over to my brother and friend, and I said, where did it go?
and you couldn't see nothing in the sky. But it was close enough where I could have really hit it with a baseball, and it, we experienced that for at least 2 minutes, if not longer, for it to, you know, float over and hover there over top of us. And it was about 100 feet wide by almost 200 feet long because that's what the fields are marked out in. So that gave me a reference as to how big this thing was. Now, thick or tall, you know, it's maybe 20 feet tall, that. But it just came, I thought it was a blimp. The only thing that back in the early 70s was, you know, the Goodyear blimp. And I'm actually looking where the Goodyear on the blimp. And I remember thinking that, but there's nothing written on it. It's just it wasn't a harsh orange. It was a beautiful, glowing orange, but it didn't really light up the area, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, Trace, how weird is that? How weird do you think I am?
Well, I don't have any comment. I've heard the story before and commented, but I think it's pretty amazing. I would tell the story over and over if it happened to me. I've never had a UFO event, so I'm not quite sure how I would react.
Yeah, it was pretty freaky. And we actually saw other things that summer. I took pictures, you know, the old cameras, the old 35-millimeter little slide thing, looked like a little U. Never had them smell it, but it wouldn't have shown up anyway because of over what we called the swamp. We would see the orange balls of light, you know, like orange, red, blue, and green, and they'd just be over zipping around back and forth. And sometimes they would just go speeding out into space in different directions. Sometimes they'd come into one, and that one object would then, you know, I mean, highway speed out into space, that kind of thing. So even my mom saw it. My brothers definitely saw it. My brother saw that. Friends, we all saw that happening over that summer. I don't know what made it a hotbed of UFO activity up there. But, you know, there's no military installations or anything up there. It's a huge mountain. I don't know whether it was hunting us or what. You ever been to Hunter's Peak?
No, I know. I've just been to UFOs. I can't. She experienced one many years ago. We were living upstate. She was living upstate, actually. And she worked in a town. And it was like a 10-mile drive back to her house. And she's driving along, something long and cigar-shaped, silver, passed just above her, about the height of a telephone pole, top of the telephone pole.
Okay.
And she's driving, she didn't think anything of it for some strange reason. She just kind of, so after it passed, and she thought to herself, it didn't make any sound. And she looked to see where it went, and it was gone. I don't know if that was a trick or the sun would be on the glass, what she saw. I personally have never seen a flying saucer object or anything.
Okay.
I don't disbelieve in them. No, I don't know.
No, I don't either.
I just had an experience.
Right. Well,
then,
what about you,
Dawn? I now have experience with UFO. I've never really told anybody about my personal experience, so I'll tell you about my mother's experience. When she was little, she described when you put the old teacher toys
together.
And it has the red, blue, green flashing lights, and just kind of floating in the sky, like a grid. Tinker's toy. No specific cylinder shape, no cigar shape. It was just like an electric set, kind of. And she went in to get her mother. And when she came back out, it wasn't there. She said,
stage in my mind.
How old was she when she had that encounter?
She was elementary school, I think. So I guess that's making up an impression on her. And she's even around the picture for me.
About how old was she?
I want to say six.
Okay.
Maybe five.
And she's about how old now?
She was eight.
Okay.
So definitely left pressure in my mind.
And my point is that there wasn't any modern-day type aircraft running around with that kind of nomenclature. That's my point with it. Back then, that's why I kind of have a fascination with UFOs, is that experience. And I saw a couple other things, in the military, going to bases and my travel and that kind of thing. So I think they do exist, and
I absolutely believe it.
I believe that, I guess I'm one of those UFO theorist kind of guys who talk about it on TV. I never really thought of myself like that, but I was like, well, I guess it is now. Because in almost every Asian culture, there's some evidence, if you want to call it that, or something there that suggests something from either outer space or another dimensional realm has been here, as far as way as Australia. The people there have cave drawings of what appears to be extraterrestrial beings. In South America, the Aztecs have carvings of what looks like a man or some other kind of being in a spacesuit. They actually found a little toy airplane back there that they dated as being centuries old. They actually made a model mock-up of it, and it flew. It looks like a modern-day aircraft, but they definitely dated it, and it's not from any time in recent history. Egypt, same thing. Iran, Iraq, there's been evidence found there that suggests that aliens were there. There's some people that believe that even the pyramids were built before modern man by ancient aliens as some type of fueling port. Some tend to think that gold, for some reason, was used by aliens. It was mined, and mankind kind of evolved from them, dipping in their DNA into what was, our ancestors along the evolutionary stream, that aliens used us as labor. But I don't think there's really any hard evidence that ancient man built the pyramids by themselves. The technology was amazing. Built on the largest known bedrock part of our planet. And it would have to be pretty huge to be able to support that. Why would a pyramid in South America have almost the same exact dimensions as one in Egypt? The Nazca Plains. How come a mountain down there? It's not like they leveled off a mountain and they put all these different hieroglyphics, huge hieroglyphics, I guess we'd call them. There's a whole mountaintop that has vanished, that does not exist. They can't find any remnants. Normally, if we moved a mountaintop over and made an airstrip or whatever, you move the dirt over, that kind of thing, they can't even find where the top of the mountain went to. So my opinion is, aliens have been here. Aliens are here. And I think, I hate to say it, a lot of people might get a case of the butt with me about it, but I think that man's culture has been the religion has been tainted by extraterrestrial beings. I mean, let's think of it this way. God, by definition, is an alien. So that's first of all.
We might get a lot of backlash for that. But I do agree that I believe that there are aliens that have been here in the past that are here now. I think the government is slowly admitting to that. This is my story a few weeks ago about admitting that Eric and Ruslan is real. I really believe it.
All right, Trace, you had something you were going to say.
I do have some experiences taking pictures of ships. Actually, when I was working with the shaman, he was giving me some different aspects of how you can see them. And, of course, when you photograph a UFO, for the most part, what I've been told is it looks like an acorn laying on its side. And that's how you tell, other than, like, a ball of light, like a star or a shooting star or something like that, and a UFO is because it's shaped like an acorn. But also what he was saying was these antennas we have that are really, really up there in the sky, if you concentrate on taking a picture of, say, the last 20 feet of the antenna and above it, a lot of times you'll catch a UFO that's actually hovering above the antennas that you can't see with your naked eye. And my understanding is what he said is they use these microwave antennas and these radio antennas that we have all out there as refueling sources.
Are you saying that our microwave antennas that we're using for communication, like our cell phones?
Yes.
Okay.
That they actually will hover above them. And they will soak up the energy from these antennas to refuel their aircraft or their spaceship. And I have had taking pictures of tops of antennas out in the middle of the country. I used to live out in the middle of the country here in Richmond, there in Charles City, and there was a bunch of telecommunication antennas out there. And I would sit hours at night taking pictures of the tops of antennas. And I did have success taking and getting pictures of unexplained objects that were like hovering over the antennas.
Okay.
So I believe that there must be some truth in that.
All right. I thought it was just that most of the cell phone services just suck. All right, Steve. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, it's UFOs. Like I said, I don't. That they don't exist. But the one thing that I could question is that people don't give mankind credit that it deserves for certain things. For example, like the pyramids.
Yeah.
I believe that they had the technology and the mathematical knowledge to build those.
Uh-huh.
And if you have a pharaoh who's using that as his tomb, and that was kind of like a beating out the Joneses.
Yeah.
So one has to outdo the next.
Right.
You know, one has to get bigger and better. I think that it's possible that it could be influenced by aliens, but just as easily can take that people could figure this stuff out.
All right. Well, I used to think that kind of way myself, except for the time periods that supposedly have been given that these things were constructed, that like the pyramids of Giza there, Tutankhamun. That pyramid would have been, had to have been built within, what was it, like 20 years? And for that to have been built, and the way you got the large room, the anteroom, and really there's no evidence to say that it was actually made to house a corpse. They can't find that there. But That's what they say. But the hard part for me to get my brain around is that if man made that thing, they would have had to quarry the stone, cut the stone, set the stone, one stone every 3 minutes for, I think, 21 years. And I find that a little hard to believe that mankind, I mean, there's no evidence of rollers being used. There's never been any soot from any torches that has been dated from that time period on the inside of it. So how could they have, and there's tubes of in the stone going through the stone up and pointing at Orion's belt. So, I mean, this wasn't just a pyramid where a bunch of rocks were cut and laid into place. I mean, there was chambers built within it, and some of these stones weighed 10, 20, 30 tons. How could, you know, we don't even have that technology today to where we could have, you know, it would take 3 or 4 or 5, 10 cranes to be able to lift one of those stones into place. But they did it supposedly 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, unless they had anti-gravity devices, which man could have had back then and lost to, you know, let's face it, you know, we can barely drive down the road without killing ourselves most days or someone else killing us. It's hard for me to get that in my head that that many people could do that many things at the same time and, you know, without any help. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, agreed. And back then, a generation was 20 to 30 years. No. So that's the other thing. You got people dropping left and right, and you have to have a workforce going over generations. One stone, even, you know, 8, 10 tons every 3 minutes. And tight enough that you can't get a piece of paper between them. Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. Right. Which is amazing technology for that time period. Yep. Right. Right, and a supposed bronze chisel on top of that. Yeah. I think ancient man was more intelligent than we give him credit for. It's just hard for me to believe that they did it on their own. That's my issue.
I can see that. I mean, the pyramids are as copper, and if you go back the pyramids in South America,
yeah,
you know, they're even older than the pyramids in Egypt.
And there's actually pyramids in China.
Yeah.
So that predate them, and you know that one that was a tomb of one of their. Emperors. Back then, there was a huge army of terracotta soldiers. The detail of those things back 2,000 years ago is astonishing.
And they were life size.
And they were life size, and they were made to look like each soldier within that dude's army. You know, their technology is. I think they were a lot smarter than man wants to modern man's mind. You know, a lot of scientists today think they're, you know, uppity-up and know more than anybody about anything. And, you know, I like to say God, left-hand man, when really we don't know squat. I think we've lost more than what we've gained over time of what man has learned.
because
because it looked like himself was silver going across the sky, which was way up there above us. And I just attributed it to being a satellite in those cases, or, like I said, other commercial aircraft. But I never had any kind of experience like that while flying or even being in aircraft or helicopters either. Trace, you were hanging around aircraft as well.
Yeah, I got 27 years on airplanes. As a flight engineer in the Army in Hawaii, we never saw anything like that. I was constantly looking out for traffic, looking out the doors and windows for different kind of traffic and different things, and we never experienced anything like that. So I think a lot of them out there do and don't say anything because of their career. And that's the main thing, is I think it's more of a cover-up with them than anything. Is I don't want to say anything because I'm afraid I'll lose my career.
I agree with that.
Yep. And
he wanted to
worry
out, but he
didn't
want to give his name.
Right. And I did talk to other pilots in the military that said that told me stories, but they said, you know, same thing. I'm not going to make an official report. I'm not saying anything to anybody outside of us, but I've had experiences. So they do. They pilots are, you know, first off, they're kind of in a sensitive area where if their sanity is called into question, they can lose their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
So that, it's a big stigma there as well. But in the airlines, you know, they're not going to back them up if they can't keep making a profit on it. Steve, I know you've flown a lot, and your arms have become very tired to the point you could barely make it to your next destination. Have you seen anything outside the windows?
Honestly, no. I was going to mention, and it seems interesting to me because it kind of ties back to the water.
Uh-huh.
There have been reports of underwater.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
UFOs. There's actually a lot of stories that have to do in ancient history, not so ancient history. Actually, Christopher Columbus, when he was crossing to the United States, he didn't find it. It was already here. But there's actually a story that he logged that they witnessed a UFO. They didn't call it that back then. But they witnessed this event on one night, and they actually found land the next morning. So that a lot of ships, sailors in the U.S. and other navies have seen USOs. They've been followed by USOs. They've seen them come out of the water, ships re-enter the water. So I think USOs are UFOs. I just don't know whether they're from another dimension or another time or another planet.
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, if you think about it, that if you have that kind of technology, we could be visiting ourselves from the future to come back to the past.
Yeah. Well, there's actually, the government is actually testing time travel, has been, and supposedly they've made headway into transporting. They're actually working on atomic matter, being neutrons, protons, that kind of thing, moving it through the time, and then, of course, they'll try the animal world. But they're actually working on that with a super collider in Europe as we speak. We might be visiting there ourselves someday. What do you think about visiting yourself, Trace?
I have to laugh. I'd have to laugh.
I'd be like, hey, man, bring me some lottery numbers.
Exactly. Back to the future.
Yeah.
Give me the Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I
was a kid, the big movie I remember that I loved was The Time Machine.
The
original movie, The Time Machine.
Yep.
I thought that was 6 or 7. But I could never understand. He went to the future. I don't know about the past. But given a chance, I'd go back to the past. I'd get out.
Don't they say that you can't go back to the past because if a time machine was only built now, there would only be a future?
Huh.
Well, think about that for a minute. If the time machine was built in 2013, then you could only visit all the way back to 2013. Because before then, there was no time travel. So, if you're in 2020, you could go back to 2013, but that's as far as you could go back, because that's as far back as time travel was invented.
Well, there's actually supposedly a time travel has taken place. Story and a photograph on the internet, of course. So if it's on the internet, it must be true. Yeah, it got to be true. So there's one guy out there that says he was, Lincoln speech at Gettysburg after the battle. Supposedly there's a young boy there in the foreground of that one so-called famous photo that says he was a time traveler. Out in the west of, I think, Arizona. Not the one part of the, it's a military base out there where supposedly he and several other children back in the 60s or 70s were recruited to travel in time, and supposedly he says that hill. So, after the show, go to Google and type in Lincoln. The address picture, and you'll see a boy in the foreground who supposedly has weird shoes. Of course, the kid's face is, you can't really see it. It's not sharp, it's not clear. I could say it was me. I definitely knew it wasn't Tracy because he had hair. So,
you guys just here to take that, Tracy?
Yeah, I'm too tired to argue about it.
Yeah, no, I got him right where I want him. Wake up, Steve.
Hey, there he is.
I thought we were supposed to have Matt or something on tonight.
I was trying to get the last few.
Thank you.
That's 15 minutes of my life back.
You won't.
Yeah, you guys are something else.
Well, you guys want to hear about a ghost?
Yeah.
There's a shadowy figure that haunts the Memphis intersection. The ghost of a bank robber. Now said to be haunting the very place where he ended his own life. The intersection in East Memphis that the activity has supposedly been on a high. It was about a guy, Rob and was there by his own life instead of being arrested. So, this counselor, his name is Mike Einhanger. He's the owner of a paranormal association. He's
reported to be in the shadowy figures that I believe is in the very intersection
where Marvin
and I-26 and this court September 1st. Now, when did he kill himself?
the intersection.
When did he kill himself?
Let's see here. You would ask me that. I don't know. It looks like I know what I'm talking about. I don't know.
This is recent, right?
Report came out on September 1st. I don't know when he killed himself.
Uh-huh.
July 3rd.
This year.
July 3rd of this year. It's not exciting.
Huh.
Apparently.
On the road?
In the intersection where he got cornered by the police. So instead of being arrested, he killed himself.
Probably something to do with the traffic and the road that was not what we were talking about before.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't sudden that he killed himself. He was aware of what he was doing.
Well, the sudden was you get emotional stress at that point.
Fear, frustration, and he took his own life. And that became ingrained. Now, I don't think that's a residual or an intelligent one. And that's what I always wonder with, like, for example, going back to the stolen pay theory, which I was going to ask about. Get your opinion. Is it possible that it can be a combination in some of these locations, such as old asylums, which are predominantly Lincoln. Okay? And they have a presence of force inside the stall. And it seems that these locations have a high recurrence of sightings, of shadow figures, or a high frequency, I should say. I'm wondering if it's a residual or the intelligent, or could they be both?
I think it's a mixture of both. With this guy who robbed the bank, I kind of have a feeling it's residual. Just because there's been no interaction with other people, they've just seen this shadow kind of run across the pavement, the intersection area. And that kind of goes along with residual energy. I mean, we're just balls of energy. And if you want to think about it in terms like when you go into a room that doesn't have a lot of stuff to absorb your voice, you're going to echo. Okay? You're hearing that energy bounce back to you. So when you're in a room with limestone or wood by a fireplace, and there's some kind of scratch energy, violent argument, or something like that, I think that energy snapshots of that kind of get absorbed into the wood, the wall.
I agree.
So,
you think that you agree with me, though, on the sense that I think it can be residual and it can be intelligent.
Yes.
If that kind of energy can be absorbed, then why is it limited to just the residual energy?
That's a good question. I think that if they're not interacting with you, you've got your answer. It's residual. If you got your equipment, they're your experts of response. You get a quantitative response. I think that you're dealing with an intelligent spirit.
For some reason, if you read the original theory on the stone pay theory, it's almost like it leaves out the possibility of intelligent water. It always says it's like a snapshot of time being replayed, like a video recorder. Okay, it doesn't say that it's interaction, which I think I don't agree with. I think you can have residual and your camera have intelligence. I think it's the materials in that environment that score.
We hear you perfect. I can hear you perfectly. Yeah, my headset, if you've got that going, that can mess with us. We won't have that problem next week, hopefully. But, yeah, I think a lot of investigations we've been on, I'll put it to Tracy as well, but, you know, a lot of times I thought that there was either non-intelligent or intelligent. Some of them were intelligent, non-intelligent, and poltergeist activity, things that we didn't know what had happened. So I think every place is kind of different. And then again, like I was saying earlier, there's several things that tended to be present when there was a haunting. So I think it varies, but like I think Dawn did, if you ask a question and you get an intelligent or even a non-intelligent answer, just because you ask the question don't mean they understand the question. Maybe, you know, I think there's this thing where they don't have voice boxes, so maybe they can't really, you know, say what they want to say. You know, it's like somebody with a brain injury. What they hear is one thing, possibly different from what you're saying, but maybe you're saying what you want to say. They hear, and I've actually worked on people like this, they hear you, but then what comes out of them is garbage, or it has nothing to do with what you ask them concerning the situation, or maybe they, in their mind, they responded appropriately, but what you're hearing is doesn't make any sense. And that kind of, I've seen it where it upsets some of the fellows, because in their mind, they're actually hearing what...
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah. And you ask them, you know, how are you feeling? And you're right, they come out, peanut butter jelly. And you're like, what the hell are you talking about? But, what do you think, Trey? Peanut butter?
Peanut butter jelly sandwich.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've had more experience with residual, but usually when they end up being an intelligent, it really surprises you, and it's usually catches you off guard. You know, you go around as a paranormal investigator, and you see shadow figures, or you see different things, or you hear taps, or hear this, and then you're in a place and you ask, well, what's my name? And plain as day, you hear Tracy. It's in Sephora.
Yeah.
And we had that happen at that plantation out on Route 5, right, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were in the slave quarters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we all went in. And we told him our names. He said, this is Ray, this is Tracy, this is blah, blah, blah. We're here, we'd like to communicate with you. And then at the end, I said, well, do you remember my name? Do you know what my name is? And it's plain as day on the recorder, we heard Tracy.
Yeah.
And then
that's
the
pretty
double
amazing
test.
You do get that intelligent.
And the one, yeah.
Did you ever have an experience where it's almost like they anticipate the question before you even verbalize
it? I don't know. Explain.
In other words, you're thinking about a question. Let's say you're doing a session, EVP session. And we do a round. Okay? Where I'll ask a question, we wait a period of time, somebody else will ask a question. And I've had it where the person who asked question before me got an answer that didn't make sense to that question, but it fit the question I was going to ask.
No, I don't think I've ever ran into that. Being partially intuitive or intuitive, I've almost kind of been guided in my questions to say, but nothing I think of like that.
I mean, I think that they, if it's an intelligent spirit. I think they can, like, they can speak with no voice. They're imprinting what they want on these devices, the electronic devices like the recorders or whatever. I think they can also tell what your intent is, or they can read what you're going to ask them before you even ask them in certain instances.
Well, I've had it happen, like I said, where it's almost like they put the question in my mind to ask, but you know, like I'd be thinking of something completely different. All of a sudden, I'd be like, all of a sudden, something would come over my mind, and that would be the question I'd ask, and it would answer almost like a preloaded question, or they would load the question in my mind before I ever thought of it to ask. So they would be able to answer that question, but I've never really had them answer before I asked the question or anything like that.
I've seen that a couple of times. And I've even got it to the spirit box, not just on EVP, you know, through the spirit box.
Right.
Well, I'm going around with the question. It's almost like there's a lag sometimes. Maybe you have to build up the energy. They could be answering the question from two questions ago.
I see.
Follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And at the same time, maybe they can anticipate a question. I don't know.
Right.
Well, I'm going back to what Steve said there a minute ago about planning that whatever in the
device.
And I really kind of believe that because I think a lot of times when I think we as people are best instruments to detect activity and explain activity. For instance, Tracy and I, we were the team, we were down in, Burkeville. And we're down in the basement, and we have our cameras set up, and they said, look, Ray, it looks like a bunch of people down there in the basement. Well, then we get back to the basement thing again. But I go down there, it's really what it is, the same wall. And it's sure enough, you're looking at the camera, it looked like four or five people huddled under the stairs. But we get down there, Tracy's, I'm at the bottom of the stairs, off to the, you know, the left of them. I think Sally's at the far end of the basement, Tracy's between us. I see a fog between Sally and I, I'm just sick, I can barely see her. Sally's actually taking her glasses off, cleaning them, because she sees them missing her fog between us. And Tracy, you were off to the side of us, her left, my right, and you didn't see anything, if I remember correctly. Then we go upstairs, and I didn't see anything, but I think Sally or you said it first, is I smell cookie bacon.
Yeah, I did.
And
like someone was in the kitchen while we were there cooking, baking cookies.
Yeah. And the people had been gone for a while, and we were not making cookies. And Sally said, yeah, I smell it too, and I did. I actually got the happy feeling of being in a kitchen after somebody had or was in the middle of baking cookies, and you're getting ready to throw down on them.
Yeah.
But then I asked Tracy, I was like, well, Tracy, you aren't supposed to be able to smell too well, right?
I've had about 8 sinus surgeries, so no, I don't have much smell left.
Right. So that was my thing. It's like, well, if that's the case, and your olfactory has definitely been disturbed to a great extent, how can you smell these cookies so well? So I think it wasn't that we smelt the cookies and had that, I had that feeling of like, oh boy, it's time for cookies. We're like being a kid, bouncing in there, I'm ready for some of these suckers. And I kind of got that happy feeling along with it. But I think it was imprinted upon our minds or psyche or whatever you want to say rather than we actually smelt these cookies being baked. But you're the intuitive, Tracy. You tell me.
Well, I didn't think, but I could sure definitely smell them. But you also got to realize that was a place where the closet was very active and the kitchen itself was very active with intelligent spirits.
Yeah.
So I also believe that in that sense, they were coming across and showing us that they were there.
Yeah. Intelligent spirits definitely can
natures and they want
smell, feel whatever they want.
You could be standing right next to somebody and I can smell a lot of and they can't smell
anything. Right.
The thing about it was all three of us did smell that. And I just happened to say the same thing right before they were getting ready to say it. And it was kind of amazing. It's like, wow, yeah, I do smell that. I do. And that was the place where we saw the lady walk across the front window.
Yeah.
They used to have stairs on the left side of the house.
Yeah.
Out of the house. And now they only have stairs at the door. And this, like, slave woman would walk up the porch, walk across the window. And there was actually a video recording of her walking across the window in the door area. And this happens all the time. They set up a video recorder and actually recorded that to happen.
Yeah. They actually had that. I got segments of that video that actually happened during the day.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can actually see what looked like what you would picture an old slave lady with the scarf bonnet tied around her head. You actually see her coming from left to right. And it's weird because she's perfectly outlined as she crosses the window. There's a portion between the window and the door, maybe two feet, three feet, and where she would get to the door, she just vanishes. So, yeah, you can get to ghostrap.com, click on the YouTube EVP video page, and you can watch that. I cut it up so you can see it progress across through there. But that was a pretty wild. That definitely means there's something paranormal. I don't know whether she was even baking the cookies or not, but they sure smell good.
I'd like to have a cookie right now.
Steve looked like he just had one. Kick back. Yeah, that's right, little buddy. Give you.
I thought we were supposed to have Matt and them on tonight.
Where's that glass of scotch with that cigarette, Steve? Where's your glass of scotch to go do your
I don't let my little buddy imbibe too much during the show.
You know what? Another one I always want to get your opinion on. I was thinking about this as part three the other day. I don't know why. I get these strange thoughts in my head. When you die, you leave the physical world, obviously, and you enter the spiritual world. Why is it that I'm getting? You would, it's just an interesting question. It's probably because you're retaining your personality. I can answer it myself. But it's funny when you hear female voices and male voices in a state where gender doesn't exist anymore.
I have to disagree with you. Well, you don't go into, I don't believe you go into a spiritual world. I think you stay right here. Your spirit does. Yeah, but I believe your spirit is your spirit, and your spirit stays on earth to a certain extent. So you still, I believe you still keep the gender relativity that you have on earth.
How would you explain, like, for example, regression in past lives?
Exactly. That's what I was going to bring up. I've done regression therapy on people with research, this mandate, they were there, and sometimes they were male, sometimes they were female, but I get what Tracy's saying, too. I think we kind of, when we move to the next plane, we kind of stick with their current gender.
Yeah.
Until something else happens. But what do you think?
That we wouldn't be in business now, would we? I said, if we had the answers to why, then we wouldn't be in business, would we?
Yeah, no, like I said, I have more questions now than we've had.
Yeah, it tends to do that to you.
I'd like to be regressed. That's one thing I would like to do.
I've been asking Ray that for years, and he wanted to do it on me, and I live 3 miles away from him.
All right.
Ray, I think we should make it a live radio event.
if you guys want to do that, well, you know, I got to be careful with, you know, other people trying to regress at the same time. But if y'all want to do that one show, we can take a whack at it if you want.
Yeah, I'm interested to try it.
Can we do it over the air?
We can try.
Okay.
Have to get you, quiet place. And, yeah, we'll have everybody mute their mics and work on doing a regression. I actually regressed one woman here in Richmond. Somebody shot her cat, and she went home, happened to be at home about that time. And it turned out to be a neighbor who they didn't really expect that it was, but they had an idea there was a couple. But she was actually able to, she saw the person's license plate, was able to pull it up and, you know, give the info to the police and solve it. So, you know, that's a modern kind of short term. I mean, this, it happened within a 2-week period of when it, her cat got killed and she came to see me. But my very first case, you know, you always remember your first, was a nurse that I regressed at their house. She was a nurse, and her husband was in the room. And I'd gone through the training and all that stuff. And I regressed her, and she went back to 1923, I think it was, in St. Louis. And she had never been there before. And her husband was in the room, and I would look at him at certain times like, what the crap is she talking about? Initially, I couldn't get her to give me any information, or she couldn't tell me anything. And I'm like, holy crap, I really got my head up my butt on this one. And so finally I figured it out, and she was actually coming out of surgery. So she, that's why she couldn't tell me anything. About what was going on with her, what was around her. She was in, so I progressed her forward in the regression to the point that she was back in her room. And come to find out that her guardian was an aunt. She gave her name, and her name was what it was. And the doctor came in the room, and the surgery was not a success. So he's talking to her. She's still comatose, surgery, or medically comatose from, you know, the medication. But like they say, her hearing is their last thing to go. But he's talking to the aunt in the room while she's there. And he says, well, she's 14, you know, didn't work. She's worthless anyway. You know, it's not really worth her trying to keep her alive. And then it wasn't long after that she died. Well, she brought that over into this life and became a nurse to prove that what, you know, she did do, what she does do as a, in the spiritual world does matter. And she became a nurse to help people to prove to herself, which she didn't know, that she was doing this to prove that she was worthy. But what was weird, it took me a while to do the research on this. The building that she was in was a hospital at that time. There was a girl who did die of complications of surgery at that time. The surgeon's name was the name that she gave, and her, the girl's aunt was her guardian, and that was her aunt's name.
Wow.
So it was pretty intense once I put all this together. I'm like, holy crap, is this really real? Because, you know, you go through training, you hear reincarnation and all that crap, but and I spoke with the husband afterward, and they had never been to Louisiana, had never had any intention of being to Louisiana. She never mentioned anything about going to Louisiana or New Orleans, and so it really kind of shocked them as well. But she's doing well and happy with it now. Did she, was she really that little girl? I don't know. Is she doing today because of what she says she experienced being that little girl? Maybe. But I still think it's like you guys were saying, when we die, we kind of stay here. So it's like these little strands of our energy going out into space. And then when we're born, maybe we happen to twang into that. I was like, holy crap, what was that? And so we come here with this impediment. of I'm not worthy or whatever it is, and so we then live that out. So that's the kind of inner battle I have with regression. Is it really that person that was alive at that time is alive now? Or is it they're actually living a memory of someone that existed in another time?
Well, I think there's enough proof out there to actually say that reincarnation is true.
Yeah, I tend to believe that it is. Another cool story with an regression was I ran into this guy in a 7-Eleven, and Tracy knows me. I'm in the medical field, and I'll talk to anybody. And, you know, really, the guy felt great because nobody would talk to him. He had a real bad stuttering impediment. He's, you know, he thanked me over. I was like, no, dude, it's okay. You know, I'm hanging out. I ain't got anywhere to be anyway, so might as well sit here and shoot the crap with you. But, you know, came to something hit me, like you guys were saying, like doing an EVP session. And that's why Trace and everything will bear this out. As we're doing round robin, and I tell them, you know, if something pops in your head, ask the question. We have our standard questions, but if something pops in, ask it. And some people bring it up to him. So I was like, well, you know, I'm a hypnotherapist. Would you like to be hypnotized? Don't know why. I hadn't even heard of it, but I regressed him. He was 23-year-old male from down around Newport News area. So I regressed him, and his dad actually brought him up because he didn't know if he'd be able to drive after being hypnotized. Well, yeah, you are, but, you know, they don't know any better. So anyway, what he brought forward was supposedly in a past life he was shot through the throat by an arrow that had killed him. And so that arrow through his throat caused him to stutter. Well, I removed the arrow, killed the energy, the wound, left all that in the past, and he speaks perfectly clear today.
Wow.
So, you know, did I help him? I guess I did. Did he really get shot through the throat in the former life? I don't know. I tend to believe he was because that's my belief. So I think when we die, like Trace did, I tend to believe, you know, that we do kind of stick here in this plane, so to speak. But I think we kind of hang out in the gender that we most recently were until, for some reason, we come back as another. Like Steve looks real pretty right now. He's got a...
I know.
How long would it possibly take you to regret something?
How long does it take? It depends. It can take 30 seconds.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Most people, when I do hypnotize someone, you know, clinically, I give them several tests, written tests, to determine whether they're left-brained, right-brained, whether they're left-handed, right-handed. And to see how they process another test, to see how they process information. So it kind of gives me an idea of how to go straight to the subconscious without having to mess around. And, you know, like, I don't believe in mass hypnosis, like the smoking thing. I've actually only known one or two people that actually went to one of those mass hypnotherapy sessions to quit smoking that actually worked for them. Because we're all individuals, and like Tracy might be left brain, Steve might be right brain. Tracy's going to assimilate information in a different way that Steve is. We're all visual, auditory, kinesthetic, but I'm a visual kinesthetic. I see it, I do it, I keep it. Some people hear it, they get it, but so we're predominantly one or the other. So I found out what they are there. So usually, after I do that, figure them out, figure the best way to get into the subconscious. But I can actually do it in 5 seconds, like today. The lady had a real bad headache and fixed her up in about 10 seconds. And she actually felt lightheaded and giddy afterward. And and that happens all the time. So it's really very quick. You know, here in Virginia, I know Steve has a lot of highways up there that are just, you know, borderline by trees and grass and that kind of thing. But down here and in other states where you're going through the, you know, the interstates, they put out fields of flowers that are green, you know, grass with yellows and oranges and reds and all this crap. It ain't because, oh, ain't it pretty? It's because they want you to wake up and look around because road hypnosis. So you get hypnotized by the road. I know y'all have done it. You know, you left the house, and next thing you know, you're at work, and you're like, holy crap, did I stop at that light?
Oh, get here.
Yeah, well, that's hypnosis, D.
Yep.
So we all do it. The old thought used to be that only the very unintelligent people could be hypnotized. It's actually the opposite. The more intelligent a person is, the easier it is to hypnotize them. It works very quickly, and the results, I had one couple from Fredericksburg in heat and air conditioning. You want to make some money, people, get your heat and air conditioning business up and going. So they were smoking 7 packs a day, him 4, she 3, and I was like, I don't believe it. But I was like, let me go look at your vehicle. And sure enough, it looked like you had taken a paintbrush full of nicotine and slopped it all over the chill.
Nice.
I was like, yep, I kind of believe it now. And hypnotized them both, and they were doing 7 packs a day, walked out the door, hadn't touched a cigarette since.
We should do that for me, man.
Yeah, well, I could, but it would cost you $200.
You got it.
You don't get the total discount, nothing.
All the money I spent on all these gadgets,
yep.
You know, shanted, do all these other things.
Yeah.
How much the guy was acupuncture. And I went in there, and I thought it was a nice guy.
Yeah.
But I went in there, and I concentrated on, of all things, this guy had bushes growing out of his nose. You know, that's the thing I'm thinking about. He got the ball in the heart. I wanted to say, I got a guy with literally an apple sticking pins in. What the hell, am I crazy? I'm just kidding. So he just stuck his pins in. He said, you think you can stop smoking? I said, yeah, I don't want to ever see him. I thought I'd smoke.
Well, you know, that's one thing I found. You know, acupuncture, it does work. I mean, you know, the Orient has been used for thousands of years. So
yeah,
I think it does do that, but it's not good for, you know, stopping nose hair from growing or for, you know, smoking cessation. I've never heard, and that doesn't mean it's not true, but I've never personally heard of anybody having acupuncture and stop smoking.
No, I haven't heard.
What are you doing?
Who?
Tracy.
Oh,
I can't tell you. Wonder why I'm so tired. Not COVID.
So, you know, I don't, acupuncture does what, we were taught acupuncture, pressure points, you know, in the military. So I know they do work. There's one place in there, I fix people's headaches all the time, but same thing, you can do it with hypnotherapy, you can do it with acupressure, acupuncture work. On a lot of different things. The VA actually had here in Richmond had an acupuncture clinic going on, but I think they ended up canceling it for some reason. But let's see how much time we have here. Only 6 minutes. Well, let's do a trace resource view. Oh, wow, run away. There you are. All right, so we're doing, and I got my mic down here in the lap on the blog talk. I think this here format has worked out a lot better than the blog talk format. Yay or nay?
Yay.
Definitely echoing.
Yeah.
the echoing is the only bit.
Well, I figured out, Ray, every time someone else talks, I can see your mic behind Joe on the bottom of the screen.
That's
every time
Dawn talks, I can see your mic and Dawn's mic.
Really?
Every time he talks, I can see him talking, his mic, and your mic. So you might have your volume up too high. That might be what it is.
Okay, that could be. I don't have my volume all the way up. Is that any better?
Let's see now.
Please don't hear Weed Hopper.
That's a little better.
Yeah, and I don't see his green
is that
mic
better?
Line when someone else talks.
I can still see it,
right,
it's not as much. I can still see it, but it's not as
much.
And it's not as much echo
either. All right,
well, oh, my gosh,
Was it my mic?
It was. Well,
I noticed that, but didn't say anything.
All right, one at a time. Trace, is that any better?
I believe it is, yes.
All right, Dawn, is that better?
I'm speaking, and yes, it's so much better. I can still hear myself, but it's not distracting.
Steve?
Yes, it's a lot better.
All right, so y'all are blaming me for screwing this up. I get it.
Right. I knew it an hour and a half ago. I forget to say anything.
All right,
being a professor, I knew it an hour and a half ago, but didn't say anything.
All right, now I can't hear anything. Y'all know I'm half deep because I had this grenade thing blow up about 3 feet from my head. I can barely hear. Maybe I'll put in a headset and do it that way next time.
You need a headset.
All right, what else? Oh, so next week, you want to come back in the Google Hangout?
In the Google Hangout?
Yeah.
Well, right. next week I'm going to be live on the East Coast, so I'll be calling in only. So however you want to do that.
Next Thursday?
We won't be with Steve?
Next Thursday?
Yes. I'll be with Tina.
Okay.
I'll be with Tina. We'll bring you home.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we'll figure that out. As long as you got a smartphone, it'll work. You got a smartphone?
I have. Smartphone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have Hangouts on your phone?
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. You can do it from your cell phone. All right. So next week
we'll go back on this format. I think it's pretty good. It actually we'll save it here in a few minutes to the YouTube channel, and we'll come back next Thursday, 9:00 p.m., and we'll have a guest with us, and I'll talk to you guys about that. Only 3 minutes. We got sponsored this week, ALB Tech. Unfortunately for others, they're actually located here in Richmond, Virginia. They actually pick PCs, Macs, iPhone repair, and they do free diagnostics, no crap. I took my Mac down there to them the other day, didn't charge me a dime, I fixed it at a price that I was astonished to pay. And I actually tried to give him a little more money than what he charged me, and he wouldn't take it. That's Adam at ALT Tech. They're in 1208 West Main Street. Richmond, Virginia, 23220. That's about 4 blocks west of the BCU campus. You can call it 804-355-2491, 804-355-2491, ALB Tech. You can Google it, or you can go to ALBTECHRVA.com. Look them up there. It really are nice guys. I've been to several times. There were other people that's gone there. If you need your computer fixed, which I did, and I would suggest going to see them. I actually had a friend over there. Their computer crashed. One place was going to charge. Didn't. They went in free diagnostic, $40. They went in. Took the hard drive, got the information off of it, put it on the drive for them to put into their new computer, $40, and got them in and out within a day. So head on down to ALB Tech, 1208 West Main Street. All right, so you guys, we're going to wrap it up here in just a minute. Let's see what we got here on the... Yeah, man, go for it.
Yep.
We
well,
off
there,
now?
There you go. Yep. Hope you feel better. Heal well, heal quickly, and do it right the first time. That's good. Yeah, we appreciate everybody from around the world tuning us in. I think we got a pretty good group of folks here. Definitely having a lot more. I'm having a lot more fun than I used to. And
very good.
Yeah, I appreciate all y'all coming on with me. Everybody tuning us in, turn us on. Appreciate you hanging with us. Y'all hang in there. Come back next week right here. You can go to ghostraps.com. You can watch it there. You can go to our web pages on Facebook, any of us. Don DeVito, Tracy Helvey, Steve Galante, myself, Ray Rucker. Or you can go to Visual Paranormal Investigations on Facebook or Ghost Raps Paranormal Talk Show on Facebook. So we appreciate it. Don, say good night.
Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening in.
Trace. Speaking of which, Steve. Good night, everybody. I'm Big Ray. Y'all stay safe out there. Have a great weekend, and make sure you head up to the ParaFest 2013 at the Sands Casino in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania this weekend, starting tomorrow. CPR Matt, CPR Dennis will be up there, and we'll be doing a show from there Saturday. I believe it's going to start around 2 o'clock. I'll put the event up on Facebook, so you can go there and listen in. Matt and Dennis is going to be doing a show tomorrow night from there as well, and Sunday, but they're going to be doing the Ghost Raps thing for us, being their field reporters on Saturday. Y'all stay safe. I'm Big Ray, and we'll see y'all next Thursday. Bye.
Bye. Good job. But I still hear echo, but it's a lot better. I felt like a special child.